Luke chapter 10, a familiar story, a familiar passage of Scripture. From it, I believe we receive the Lord's word for us today. It's the word that the Lord has certainly laid on my heart of late. In fact, full disclosure, this morning there was a bit of hesitation in sharing this message. So specific, I felt this word to be for me. And yet, though it certainly was that, I believe it really is and would be the word of the Lord for all of us today. A reminder, His reminder to us, His reminder for us of the most important thing. Today is a word that helps to bring us back to center, to realign things in our lives, to bring a readjustment, helps us to check, helps us to reevaluate maybe our priorities, helps us to check to make sure that in our life the main thing is still the main thing. Maybe this morning we would discover that we've drifted. I do that. I find that in my own life. And then a time of prayer, a devotional time, or even a time of preparing a Sunday morning message, a realization that I've done that, that I've drifted. I've drifted from where I need to be, where I should be. I drifted from where the Lord would want me to be. And that time then of prayer, of devotions, sermon preparation, it serves not only sort of the realization of the drifting, also this sense of message to me, the admonition to come back, to make things right again, to make the main thing again. This realization of drifting, wow, I need to be there. I want to be there. The Lord has made clear to me that He wants me to be there, but I'm way over here. And now all of a sudden, with that realization, the message, Denny, let's get back to over there. Let's get over there where we need to be, where God wants you to be. If you've ever been into a body of water large enough that there was a current, you know what it is to drop your stuff and sort of walk out into the water and try as you might to walk straight out into the water. When you spend some time and turn around to come back, what do you realize? You realize you've drifted and your stuff's way over there. You thought you walked straight out. You didn't even know you had moved. But when you turn around to come back, you realize that you're a little bit further down the shore than where you left your stuff. As it happens in the water, I believe it happens to us spiritually. It's not that we don't love Jesus anymore. It's not that our hearts have turned cold or bitter or rebellious towards the things of God. Not that we've launched out into some horrific sin. Not that. Not any of that. We just come to a moment where, confronted by God's word, we're made to realize we've drifted. We're not where we should be. Maybe that's you this morning and you know it. Your heart is not where it should be with the Lord. You're struggling. Maybe it's hard for you to even be here this morning. It's hard for you to worship. It's hard for you to pray. It's hard for you to spend time in the Word. You've lost that sense of love for Him, devotion to Him, passion to be with Him. You knew it at one time. But you know, you recognize, you understand that it's not like that now. Something's lost. Something's been missing. Things just aren't like they were. And maybe, in fact, that's how you would describe your spiritual life if asked about it. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. How are you doing spiritually? Maybe if you were going to answer honestly, you would say something as simple as that. It's just not like it used to be. Maybe it's not like you want it to be. Maybe that would be the response. My spiritual life, I'm just not where I want to be with Jesus. I'm just not, it's not terrible, Pastor. I've not fallen into sin. I've not forsaken Jesus. I still love him. I still want to live for him. I still want to serve him. But I'm just not where I want to be. More importantly, maybe you'd acknowledge you're just not where God wants you to be. You've drifted and you know it. Maybe you feel everything is good and right, and yet perhaps before we finish, as you give your heart to the Word today and open your ears to hear what the Spirit would say to you, maybe there would be the realization that would come. You thought all was good, but as your eyes are turned back to Him, as it were, as your eyes are turned back to the shore, you realize, wow, I've drifted. I thought everything was okay. I thought I just walked straight out into the water. I turned around and walked straight back to my stuff. But as your eyes are drawn to Him, and as the Lord would begin to speak to you by His Word today, maybe there's the sense you've drifted too. We do that. We drift. So mornings like this, where by way of the Word, the Lord would speak to us, His message to us, to bring us back, to recenter, to realign, to readjust some things, so we can be again where we were, so we can be where we need to be, where we want to be, where He wants us to be. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It's familiar. We know the story, don't we? We so often use it to contrast the personalities of Martha and Mary. We use it to sort of identify our own personalities. Are you more of a Martha or are you more of a Mary? We'll consider that maybe a little bit, but really I just want us to zero in on Mary today. Her love, her devotion to the Lord. I love this picture. Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. Normally, during the month of June, you know this, we're in Missouri with missionary kids, first through third grade, 6 to 8 years old. And we will have with them devotional time, and we'll have with them a lesson maybe. And sometimes, in fact, many of the evenings, we'll have a service with them. And often what I will do is I'll read a book and I'll invite them to come up and gather around where I'm sitting. And you'll understand the context of this. 6, 7, and 8 year olds, they're on top of each other. They're on top of me, practically wanting to get as close as they can. No respect of personal space. I'll set a perimeter at times. You can't come past this line. This is the line. You can't come past it. Sometimes I'll let them all get situated, so I'll bring my chair. There they are, right on top of my feet, and then I'll tell them, "Okay, everyone has to freeze. You can't move." And then I'll take my chair and move it 3 feet back. There's an excitement. There's an anticipation. We want to hear in the sense that the closer we are, the better we'll hear from a 6-year-old, from a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old. We want to see all the pictures. The closer we are, the better we'll see. As I was preparing for the message, I had that picture of Mary. I know the setting is different. It's Jesus. These are full-grown adults. But Mary, at His feet, close, listening to what He had to say. I love that picture. Mary loved Jesus. Mary was devoted to Jesus. Mary wanted to be in close wherever He was. And that's it for us. Do you have that kind of love? Do you have that kind of devotion? Do you understand this morning? Have you maybe drifted a little bit? Is there that kind of excitement? That kind of pressing into Him. I know your devotional time is not Jesus sitting in the room with you, a chair in front of you where you can literally be at His feet, pressed in as close as you can get. I know it's not that, but He is speaking to you by way of His Word. Is there an anticipation? Is there an excitement in that for you when it comes to opening your Bible like a kid? I've got to get close. I want to hear every word. I want to see every picture. Is that how you respond? Is that the thrill you experience when devotional time approaches? Or have you drifted from that? How about with church? Is there that kind of excitement? I want to worship Jesus. I get to worship Jesus. I want to press into Jesus. I want to get close, close, close to Him. I want to love Jesus. I want to hear. I can't wait to hear what Jesus has to say to me today. Is there that kind of excitement? Is there that kind of anticipation come Sunday morning? Do you know it in prayer? Do you know the thrill of meeting with Him and being with Him, spending time with Him, experiencing Him, drawing close to Him, worshiping Him, loving Him, adoring Him, magnifying Him in prayer, thanking Him, crying out to Him, listening to Him in prayer? Is there a desire to sit at the feet of Jesus, to experience and enjoy above any and everything else simply this, His presence? Can I ask you this morning, how do you treat the presence of God? How do you long for the presence of God? Can I ask you this morning, do you know His presence? Can I ask you this morning, do you seek His presence? Do you long for His presence? Do you look forward to the time of meeting with Him? Is your heart stirred by even just that, the thought of that? Psalm 42, as a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. When can I go and worship in your presence? I think Mary longed for Jesus like the deer longs for the stream of cool water. Do you? Do you long for Him like that? Do you thirst for Him like that? I think it was Mary's constant question, oh, when can I be with Jesus again? When can I sit at His feet again? When can I know and experience His presence again? Is that the question of your heart's longing? Is that the thing that occupies your mind and your attention? I think the Lord would want that today of all of us. And maybe we would find that we've drifted from that. He wants to bring us back. Let me just share with you a few thoughts this morning in order to get back to center, to get back to the place that maybe we've drifted from. A few thoughts related to this that we read of Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. The first is this: ignore the distractions. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Martha opened her home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Some estimate that there could have been more than 100 people in Jesus' entourage. Imagine it, 100 people that you're responsible for, 100 people that you have to host, 100 people that you have to prepare dinner for, 100 people that you have to honor and treat as most esteemed guests. We're not close to 100 in this room, but if I right now invited us all to your house for lunch today or even someday during this week, I imagine you'd become a little bit distracted right now and probably more than a little bit angry with me. Forget even the 100, consider just the one. It's Jesus coming to your house, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the hope of your people, the hope of Israel, the hope of all the world, God himself. You might would feel a little pressure in that, in making sure dinner went well with him as your guest. In the culture of that day, even still today in many Near Eastern cultures, hospitality is important. The fear of dishonoring guests by not properly hosting them, it's a real fear. Martha, her entire family, their reputation was on the line. She messes this up, and there's a shame that can potentially come to all of them because of it. No wonder then this, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. We tend to look down on her, but really in the context, it would seem that Martha is the one doing the logical thing. It would seem that Martha's the one doing the right thing, but she's not. Mary, in the midst of all that needs to be done, sits at the Lord's feet listening to Jesus. Martha, distracted, misses all that Jesus has to say. Listen to me. If you can't identify and ignore the distractions in your life, you're going to miss Jesus. It's interesting, the New King James says it this way, verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Don't miss it. Distractions can have the appearance of good things. Jesus often commends servanthood, but not this time. Listen, let me share with you, I believe this is true. Jesus never commends serving when the serving is a distraction from being with him. If serving replaces relationship, if serving comes between you and him, doesn't it become an idol? Isn't that how we define idolatry? Anything that comes between you and Jesus, anything that comes between you and spending time with Jesus, even if it's serving, distractions can even have the appearance of necessary things. But it's necessary for someone to have the role of hosting Jesus. It's necessary for someone to prepare the meal. Someone has to do it. How's Jesus going to eat? The distraction, it's a necessary one. Jesus has to eat. The entire group has to eat. The meal isn't just going to miraculously appear. Someone has to do it. Distractions can have the appearance of urgent things, but I have to. No, I have to do this right now. This has to get done right now. This can't wait. Everything else can wait. Come on now. Jesus can wait. My prayer time can wait. Time in his presence can wait. Worship can wait. But this right now, this is most urgent, and it must be done in this moment. No matter how the distraction appears, urgent, necessary, good, even logical and right. Listen to me. No matter how the distraction appears, there's no distraction worth having if it costs you a place at his feet. Tell me your distraction, and without being rude or sounding mean, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter. You have to ignore it if you want the place at his feet like Mary had. No matter how it appears, no matter how you would be inclined to describe it, the distraction that keeps you from him, from his presence, the distraction that keeps you from his word, the distraction that keeps you from listening to him, you're going to have to learn to ignore it. The reality, we're all busy. All of us, every single day, dealing with a whole host of potential distractions. The question becomes, who's going to get through them? Who's going to ignore them in order to get to Jesus? With all due respect, don't tell me how busy you are. We're all busy. Tell me whether or not you're going to ignore the distractions so that you can get to Jesus. In Ezekiel, God's word to the prophet, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, but I couldn't find even one. I wonder if today It's his word to us. I looked for a man. I looked for a woman who would ignore the distractions, prioritize my presence more than their busyness. I wonder if he would find that one. Listen to me, New Life. May he find us, a people here willing to ignore the distractions. This is why we do that, so that number two, we can choose the better. Ignore the distractions so that you can choose him, so that you can choose Jesus, so that you can choose his presence. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried. You're upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Can I challenge you today? It's in the presence of Jesus that you recognize you have the one thing you need. You're worried. You're afraid. You're upset. You're wringing your hands. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to remember that in Jesus, you have all you need. You have the one thing, the only thing that you need. It's in his presence that we discover that. It's in his presence that we read. Discover that, so that the worry, the fear, the unsettled and upset spirit are calmed, put at ease, resolved. The Course says it this way, through it all, my eyes are on you, and concludes then with this, it is well with me. In him. Listen, you set your eyes on him. You spend time in his presence at his feet. Like Mary, you'll come to realize you have the very thing that you need so that you can sing the song. It is well. It is well with me. Ignore the distraction. Tomorrow, a million and one distractions that are going to work to keep you out of his presence. Some of them are going to be good things. Some of them are going to even be necessary things, urgent things. Some of them are going to appear to be right and logical and good. They're going to seem to make perfect sense for you to do that instead of spend time at his feet. Maybe not all the distractions, but some of them you're going to have to ignore if you want to choose the better that is Jesus. I wonder what distractions have you not been ignoring? I wonder what distractions are you going to have to ignore tomorrow? I wonder, are you going to choose the better? I find in my own life, I sometimes don't choose the better. I get distracted. I get distracted by things. I get distracted by busyness. I forget the one thing that is needed. It's time at Jesus' feet. It's time in his presence. It's a connection with him. And let me just take a moment there. It's so key. And it might specifically be for my life. Maybe it's the thing I struggle with and have to guard against. But let me caution you today. You have to have that connection with Jesus. I was considering that in light of some of our spiritual disciplines. Listen to me. I believe this is true. You can read the Bible without connecting with Jesus. You can read the Bible without having spent time at his feet in his presence. But listen, that's the key. Don't read the Bible and miss the key. Don't read the Bible and miss the main thing. You can read it as a chore. You can read it as an obligation. I know I should. I know I need to. And you can set the goal and you can set the objective. I'm going to read 10 verses. I'm going to read a chapter. I'm going to read 5 chapters. And you can do it, but be careful in doing that. You make that the objective rather than the objective of meeting with him. Be careful of doing that and missing him. Sounds odd that we could even do it, but I fear we actually do it way too often. We can enter into a time of prayer and we can miss Jesus. We can miss connecting with Jesus even in prayer. We come to the altar and pray. We're prayed for, but we get up. We leave the place of prayer no different than how we entered, still doubting. Still worried, still fearful. We come to meet with Jesus and to give to him all of our burdens, but we miss him and we walk away with our burdens still, wondering how we're going to fix the mess, wondering how we're going to solve the problem. Oh, thank goodness, my prayer time is over. Check that off the box. Now I can get on to solving this problem that I have. Now I can get on to dealing with this difficulty that I'm facing. I was thinking of it in my own life. I've shared this story with you before. There was a time, it was a number of years ago, got up the morning and was getting ready, and in the room getting ready, all of a sudden I feel something in my mouth. And there's something in my tooth along my gum line. And I don't exactly remember the story and all that was involved. It was either someone at the time had just been diagnosed with a tumor, a cancerous tumor, and maybe my mind was there on that, or just one of those instances where our minds go to the worst possible conclusion. I hadn't seen a doctor, I hadn't seen a dentist, but you couldn't have convinced me otherwise. I had a tumor in my mouth. I'm just getting ready in the morning and I begin to pray. God, I need you to help. We have no insurance. We have no dental, anything. God, you got to save. What am I going to do? How can this ever be resolved, God, unless you do it? It's just a miraculous moment. God speaks to my heart. You don't have to worry about this. I've got it. It's done. You're fine. What do you do when you hear God speak that to you? If you're me, you say amen, and then immediately begin to think of what more I need to do to fix this. What dentist am I going to call? What doctor am I going to go visit? In fact, my thought was, I've got this tumor, I need to call the prayer chain. And there was an immediate check in my spirit from the Lord. Did I not just say, it's done. You don't have to worry about this. You're fine. Sounds weird to say it. Calling the prayer chain would have been wrong for me in that moment. And I knew it. You know what I was doing? I was about to walk away from prayer, missing Him, missing His word. The Lord spoke. This was a miraculous moment. And I was about to walk away from it. I was about to walk away and miss it completely. I was about to miss a most powerful connection with God. But that's the key. Why else do we go to prayer except to meet with the living God? Do you understand this morning? We have to be careful that going into prayer, we don't miss the wonderful value of prayer. Time with Him, at His feet, in His presence, connecting with Him. Can I encourage you? Stop being content. Stop being satisfied in your Bible reading, in your prayer time, even with church. Stop being content. Stop being satisfied if you're not meeting with Jesus. Listen, the truth. Let's all find another church where we can meet with Him if we can't meet with Him here. May we never be a church content with church without Jesus. Is there anything worse than that? Us all gathered here, but Jesus not here. Don't ever be content with that. Be content only with this, that you met with the Lord. That you came here and Jesus met you here and you sat at His feet and you listened to Him. Stop counting it as sufficient. Stop counting it as good enough. You did your Bible reading. You said your quick prayer. You spent your hour here in this place, but you didn't connect with Him. Don't count that. That's not good. It's not good enough. That's not satisfactory. It misses the point of it all. Listen to me. The better thing, it's not Bible reading. Listen to me. The better thing, it's not prayer. It's not church. It's not fasting. It's not serving. It's not evangelism. Not any other spiritual discipline. The better thing is Jesus. It's experiencing Jesus. It's encountering Jesus. It's spending time with Jesus. It's connecting with Jesus. And yes, we do that in our Bible reading, and we do that in prayer, and we do that by way of serving, and we do it by way of connecting with others and telling them the story of Jesus. But don't miss him. Do you understand? Jesus was in the house, but Martha missed him. Martha was doing all the right things. Wow, look at Martha go to work. Look at this wonderful dinner she's preparing for the Lord. But in it all, Martha doing the right thing missed the better thing. He is the better thing. We ignored the distractions so that we can meet with him, sit at his feet, listen to his voice, spend time in his presence. It's there where our eyes are fixed on him, and it is well for us. If it's not well for you, if you can't sing the song this morning truthfully, it's well with me, with my soul. I'm telling you what you need. You need to get into his presence, and you need to sit for a few minutes at his feet. It's in his presence where we listen to him, our ears tuned into him. His life giving, his life-changing word for us. Don't you know it's his word that we need to hear in and over our lives? Don't you long for the word of the Lord to be spoken? Doesn't it make all the difference for us, in us? It's at his feet, it's in his presence where healing comes for the hurt. It's at his feet, it's in his presence where we experience and encounter and come to know his wisdom, his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his love, his guidance, his direction, his correction, even conviction. Some of you may be struggling, wondering, questioning, doubting God's love for you, whether his mercy and grace is enough for you, whether he's still compassionate towards you. And I'm telling you this morning, you're wondering it all because you're simply getting distracted and you're not choosing the better thing. You're not sitting at his feet like you should be, because there you would hear of his love for you. You would hear of his grace and his mercy and his compassion for you. Some of you are struggling. I'm just going to say it. You're living wrong and you're doing wrong. But you're not hearing his guidance. You're not hearing his direction. You're not hearing his correction or his conviction. And until you do, you're going to continue to walk the path of foolishness, even of destruction, banging your head against the wall. Why do I always get myself in trouble? Why is it always like this for me? Why do I keep messing up? You're just going to keep walking that path. You're going to continue to live life far less, far below the life he died for you to have. And I'll tell you this morning, it's because you're not choosing the better thing. You're getting distracted, and rather than ignore the distraction, you're missing Jesus and the path of life that he would put you on. It's at his feet, it's in his presence that we surrender to him. We experience his strength, his joy, his peace. It's at his feet, it's in his presence that we experience the victory. If you need victory today, I'm telling you, to find a way to ignore every distraction that is bombarding you right now. You're going to have to ignore it all and find a place at his feet in his presence. It's in his presence that we find rest for our wearied souls. Mary, her love was Jesus. Her focus was Jesus. Her contentment, her well-being was found in Jesus. Her priority was Jesus. Never mind the dinner. Never mind the guests. Never mind even the shame that might come if I don't take good care of the guests. She wanted Jesus. Just like the kids every summer, I imagine hers was the intent and the desire to get closest to him. She was that kid, the one that gets yelled at every summer. Stop stepping on everybody. You're fine where you're at. Stay put where you're at. You don't have to be in the very front row. She was that kid moving her way to the front to get as close as she possibly could. More important than busying herself for him, Mary simply wanted to be with him. One pastor tells the story. There was once a man. He had a daughter. They were the best of friends. Their favorite thing was an evening walk together every evening. To his dismay, one night she said she couldn't go. He was hurt. The next night he heard the same thing from her. And for several days more, he was brokenhearted now. Then it was his birthday. His daughter presented him with a beautiful pair of handmade slippers and let him to know they were the reason she couldn't be with him for the evening walks. She was busy making the slippers. With a tear in his eye, he told her he liked them, but also told her, next time, buy them, because I would rather spend time with you than receive something from you. Mary already knew that. That more than a well-prepared dinner, Jesus wanted her with him at his feet. Mary, she knew that if she had Jesus, she had the one thing she needed. She had everything she needed. Mary knew that if she had Jesus, she had the better thing. The realignment, the adjustment today, the reevaluating, the making sure the main thing is still the main thing, the getting back to the center that the drifting has moved us from, simply put, it's to be more like Mary. It's to ignore the distraction and choose the better thing. It's to choose him. It's to make our way, find our place at his feet. And then watch this. When we get our priorities aligned, when we learn to ignore the distractions so that we choose the better, number three, we can and we will do the memorable thing. Martha opened her home to Jesus. Mary sat at his feet. Martha was distracted. Lord, make her help me. Martha, you're worried, you're upset. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the one thing. She's chosen what is better. And these are the words of Jesus, and it will not be taken away from her. It'll make a difference. It'll have a lasting effect. Listen, everything else will fade away. The best dinner will only satisfy your hunger for a few hours, but time with Jesus, that's what makes the real and the lasting difference. That's what will change your life forever. That's the thing that can't be taken away from you. Mary's story continues in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is back in Bethany. Again, it's a dinner. John tells us that Lazarus, back from the dead, back from the grave, Lazarus was reclining at the table with Jesus. And then this in Matthew 26, a woman came to him. From John's account, we know it to be Mary, with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. John tells us he poured it on her feet, that the picture is from head to toe. She poured it over Jesus, this expensive perfume. The disciples indignant, why the waste? This perfume could have been sold at a high price. Jesus said, you know what the disciples are thinking? They're thinking dinner preparations. They're thinking, we've got to serve, serve. Never mind Jesus, we've got to serve, serve, serve. Never mind Jesus, we've got to do, do, do. We've got to help, we've got to be busy, busy, busy. Mary's thinking worship. The disciples are thinking work. And Jesus commends the one and not the other. Now watch yourself here, because many of us were the workers. But Jesus doesn't commend the work. You know it, the poor you'll always have with you. You take care of the poor when you can, you take care of the poor later. Right now, this is a moment to worship me. And Jesus said, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing for me. In fact, it's the most beautiful thing, because to no other thing does Jesus then say this. I tell you the truth. Wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Today, we fulfill the words of Jesus. Do you understand that? We make his words to be true. We once more tell Mary's story, her offering. It was a great sacrifice. John tells us it was worth a year's wages. But the point Jesus makes, it was the most beautiful thing done to him and for him. She worshiped. She anointed his body for burial. She gave him the one thing, the only thing that would be with him all the way to the cross, you can be sure that as he stood in Pilate's judgment hall, as he walked the road to Calvary, the smell of that ointment, that year's worth of wages perfume, was still all over him. Her act of worship was still with him long after Judas's kiss, long after the hurt of Peter's denial. Her act of worship was still with him long after all the disciples had left him. Do you understand? You ignore the distractions, you choose the better, and then you can do the memorable. You can do the thing that will make a difference. You can do the thing that will have a lasting effect. You can do the thing that will linger long after everything else has faded and been forgotten. You can do the thing that will always be told in memory of you. In the Old Testament, we read of Moses, who in the context of our message, spent some time sitting at the feet of the Lord. In the picture the Old Testament presents, he goes into the tabernacle and he meets with God face to face, friend to friend. And do you remember when he comes out of the tabernacle, his face shone with the glory of the Lord? Listen, you spend time at the feet of Jesus. You spend time in his presence and people will know you've been with him. It'll make a difference. It'll have a lasting effect. People will see it in you and on you. And I know this to be true. I hope this to be true. I pray it to be true. You want people to see Jesus in you. I believe you want that. I know that you want that. You want people to experience Jesus through your life, through your testimony. I know you do. Listen to me today. That's never going to happen. You're never going to have that kind of influence. You're never going to have that kind of impact if you can't learn to ignore the distraction, choose the better, and be with him. Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. I believe that that was Mary's cry. I believe that that was the testimony of Mary's heart. Jesus, I desire you more than anything. I pray today that all of us would be able to say the same and that our lives would reflect that desire for him. Through the distractions, we would make our way into his presence, sit at his feet, simply so that we can be with him. But being with him will change you. You'll ignore the distraction. You'll choose the better. And because you've been with him at his feet, you will do the memorable. Father, I thank you today for the lesson that we find in the story of Mary and Martha, really. Mostly this morning, our focus on Mary. Father, I pray that you would help us to ignore the distractions. God, I just sense it in my heart. I believe I know this people, and that this morning, all of us, our hearts resonating with the message. Yes, I want to be with Jesus. I want to spend time at his feet. We're coming back to center. We hear the call to come back from where we've drifted from. And yet, Father, at the same time, I know there's going to be a host of distractions that are going to bombard us immediately, maybe before we even leave this room. Lord, I pray. This morning, we understand, we recognize to get to you, the place at your feet, your presence, we've got to learn to say no to the distractions that come into our life. So, Lord, we understand that. We know that. By the power of your Spirit, would you help us to ignore every distraction that would keep us from you? Lord, help us to choose you. Help us to enjoy your presence. Help us to recognize our need for your presence so that we might then be prepared to do great and wonderful things for you, so that our worship and our service to you might be extravagant and most memorable. Help us, Lord, I pray, simply put, to be like Mary today. In Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet this morning? If you've drifted, I pray that today you hear his word to come back, and that you do. I pray today that you make your way past all that would compete for your attention, all that would make you to think you're too busy. Right as it looks, good as it looks, logical as it seems. Past all the distractions, and that you find your way into his presence, a place at his feet. And that you'll worship him and love on him there. Let him work in you so that you can do the memorable thing for him. It's an expression of worship and service to him. Would you extend your hands today to receive the blessing of the Lord? I pray it over you. I declare it over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious and good to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. Amen.